Hey everybody, we're watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 now, The Secret of the Ooze. I'm Chris.
I'm Mike.
We're from Room Full of Nerd Stuff. I'm from the homeworld. He's from Misk.
NoDiceComic.com and ManInSuitComics.com. It's weird. One of them's plural and one of them isn't.
You'd think, oh. You know, I fucking love Jim Henson, by the way. He was a great guy. Did a lot of great work. You saw my review I did. He's
Yeah.
ah, goddamn,
But
Jim Henson.
if you see the stuff outside of his Muppet work, you realize he was kind of a fucked up guy.
Fucked up dude. But all great creators are a little fucked up, Mike.
Yeah.
It's a fact.
I'm not saying that they're not, but it's like you see some of the stuff that he did outside of the Muppets. It's like, wow, yeah, he had a really kind of kooky dark side to him.
So, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze, impressive turnaround, less than 1 year after the original one. This came out March 22nd, 1991. I did not realize they were that close together.
I didn't either. I knew that they were really close apart. I knew this was 91. I thought that it was at the end of 91, though, not.
Yeah. The third film was March 17th, 1993, so. Happy anniversary, Ninja Turtles. All your movies came out in March.
Did they keep that up with the fourth one?
I don't know. Let me check and see real
I
quick.
have a feeling that one came out in the summer.
March 23rd, 2007.
Really? So all of them came out in March.
Michael Bay's Ninja Turtles, August.
August. Way to break the streak, Michael Bay, you
God damn it,
dickhead.
Michael Bay. I bet he'd pin The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Although I did notice that Michael Bay's catching.
Hush, hush. Surf Ninjas alum Ernie Reyes Jr. is on screen. We cannot talk.
We can't talk when Ernie Reyes Jr. is on screen, then this is going to be a short commentary.
No, what were you saying?
But it's like someone pointed out that Michael Bay is catching all manner of hell for this movie
Didn't even
when
direct
he's
it.
not directing it. He only produced it, which only means that he put money into making the movie.
Somebody else directed that turd.
Yeah, which, what's his name? I got it up here. Jonathan Liebsman.
Liebsman also directed. Oh, God. Texas Chainsaw Massacre: The Beginning, Battle Los Angeles, and Wrath of the
A
Titans.
Battle Los Angeles was not a bad movie.
I never saw it.
It was kind of like where Independence Day had the Air Force. Imagine Independence Day with the Marines. So.
So, Ernie Reyes Jr., of course, was from. You tell him, Mike.
He's from Surf Ninjas and nothing else. I think he
He's
played
from.
a pirate in one of the Caribbean movies.
He was a cemetery warrior in Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal
That's what
Skull.
I was thinking of.
He was in the first Ninja Turtles movie, obviously. Martial arts stunts double for Donatello, which led to him getting this role, which is what I was hoping Mike was going to say, but he's a fucking idiot.
Thanks.
I love you, Mike.
Now you're saying on the first one that you saw it in theaters. I actually saw this one in theaters.
I did not see this one in theaters, but I remember renting it again on VHS. I do remember shortly after this came out, my mom reading a newspaper and saying, "Hey, it says here they're going to make a third Ninja Turtles movie," and me looking at my mom and going, "Oh, who's the bad guy? Are they going to fight Baxter Stockman or something?" And my mom just looking so fucking confused. It's just like, I don't know.
What the hell is a Baxter
I,
Stockman?
I sure.
Little did we know that it would be some British guy in ancient Japan. But that is for another commentary.
That is for another commentary indeed.
And this one was made at the height of the cartoon show's popularity, which led to a lot of more cartoony things like this.
Oh, this.
They used their weapons even less than they did in the first one, and instead use yo-yos and hot dogs.
you know, for the kids.
As all the ninjas did in ancient Japan, yo-yos and hot dogs. I think that is actually the most Leonardo uses his swords in this movie.
I know. Oh, Donatello is not voiced by Corey Feldman in this movie, sadly. He is voiced by Adam Carl, who I don't believe did anything else. He is, yet again, it looks like all the suit performers from the first one came back, as near as I can tell. No, Raphael's got a different one.
Well, obviously Donatello would have a different one.
Yeah. Leif Tilden is Donatello in this one. Ken Traum is Raphael. Leif was Donatello in the first one. Ernie Reyes Jr. was just a stunt double for Donatello.
Oh, so he was only Donatello when he needed to do karate?
Pretty much. Ken Traum, also known as Ken Scott, did not much else.
I wonder why the thugs didn't just run away to begin with when they saw the four giant turtles.
Oh.
That would certainly scare the hell out of me enough to run away.
Cousin Oliver, Robbie Wrist, yet again voices Michelangelo in this one. Why does it matter how they saw him coming in?
Because then he might get the hint that they're just sleeping at April's.
Ah, this is true.
As he was delivering the pizza to April's house, I believe.
Gah! I'm so frustrated.
Goddamn police and turtles.
Maybe I should leave.
Now, how is Kino going to explain this to his boss?
You know what? The pizzas are paid for. Don't think he gives a shit.
Anytime someone comes home from the grocery store in a New York set movie, they have that, like, foot-long loaf of bread.
It's an any movie. It's a visual cue. Because, you know, if you see somebody with a bag, you aren't just going to assume it's groceries.
Unless they have bread sticking out of the top.
Right. So, obviously, that is not the same April O'Neil from before.
This is Paige Turco.
Paige Turco.
I knew that without even looking it up.
I know. That's kind of... Well, I'm a little impressed. A little impressed. Another actress with a soap opera background. And really just kind of bit parts on other stuff.
Why would Michelangelo keep a snake in the refrigerator?
Because he's trying to prank her, but he's done it so many times, she just doesn't fall for it anymore.
Leonardo's stack of porn magazines...
Raphael's Ass Blaster 2000. You'd have to explain to her, like, step in a pile of shit on the stairs and be like, oh, Splinter.
Call back to the first movie where Donatello doesn't know how to say anything cool. Because he's the nerdy one.
Get it?
Even though he was supposed to be the tech one, and I don't think he builds anything in any of the movies.
He was the tech guy for the third one. Didn't he make the weird time scepter work?
Well, he had the computer and was able to look it up, but I don't think he made it work.
I think, because, I mean, him being the tech guy was only extended to, like, the communicators and the cars and shit in the cartoons. It wasn't until that show ran for, like, 20 fucking years that that got blown over the top.
In the very beginning, he's got a giant machine that's making coffee.
You can't take the fucking intro theme for anything. In the title theme, Michelangelo's in a disco.
They had a disco room in the sewer den. Can you please get out of my apartment?
Because it's the sequel, so tensions are exaggerated now.
Had to be weird for the puppeteers to shove pizza into their eyes.
Raphael in this go-round, voiced by Laurie Fasso, who voiced Warden Waddlesworth on Darkwing Duck. I really don't feel you have to have a career outside of Darkwing Duck.
Stop fucking around! Get your ass back in here.
Don't make me tell you another story. I will turn these lights down.
Michelangelo's already running over to the light switch.
Oh, damn it, not again. Kevin Clash returns for Splinter in this one. Hi, Turtles! That was Mickey Mouse. That was an Elmo. What? Oh, it's totally fine. Let's go live in the sewers again.
You just have to have the delivery guy shove it through the grate. See, you were just bitching about them all making a mess, and you just threw napkins everywhere.
No, we've got to get the fuck out.
We have to live in a stinky sewer. We're rats and turtles. We can't live with people.
Gotta wonder if the neighbors downstairs... God damn, that April bitch is working out again.
What are you looking at, Splinter? What?
How long did it take them to unload that one garbage truck?
It does beg the question of how long Shredder has been laying in this dump. Like, how long is it between movies?
Like, I mean, they don't say, but Splinter's healed up quite nicely, so.
They have lived with April long enough for her to just have a complete assful of them. So it's at least a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Who let the 12-year-old into the Foot Clan?
I'm under the impression they weren't very picky about their admission requirements. Oh, Mr. Fuji's pissed.
Squish you face know, Shredder.
Do you have a wet nap?
Yeah, his face. You wouldn't look great either after getting crushed by a garbage truck. Asshole.
Shredder has a new actor in this one, too. Francois Chow, a Cambodian-American actor. Who, again, just kind of a bunch of little small TV roles.
Francois Chow.
Francois Chow does not voice the Shredder, though. A gentleman named David Macharin does. I don't think he's really done anything else outside of this either, from what I could tell.
I think the professor here has had the biggest career outside of this movie.
I'm scrolling through it right now. The gentleman's name is David Warner. He was in Tron, Time Bandits,
Titanic,
Star Trek V. Was he in Titanic? Star Trek VI. The Lost World. He was in The Lost World. Yeah, Titanic. Spicer Lovejoy. That's a porn name if I ever heard one. And then, of course, a big TV career, too. Lois and Clark, he played Jor-El. Star Trek The Next Generation. Doctor Who. He has to do a voice bit for Doctor Who as well. So, remember, the biggest stars of this movie were this guy and Ernie Reyes Jr. Only Corey Feldman had been in this one.
Even from a support standpoint, Raphael's being a huge dick wanting to change the channel during April's show.
Come on, guys, cartoons are on.
He just covered her hand in some sort of toxic gunk.
She's gonna become a ninja, I don't know, swan, bat, butterfly, something ladylike.
Bat is ladylike? You know, sure. Swan, bat, butterfly, just stick that in there. Hut, 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 hut. Oh no, flowers. Well, to be fair, it is on the other side of the hill. And now you've been covered in radioactive goo.
Yeah, that'll be inconspicuous. Wander through the contaminated area with a giant flower. Nobody will notice.
Nothing here. Except the sinister gopher at the news station.
It smells like poison.
I'm trying to find a listing for that guy. He looks familiar as shit.
You're hiding really well out in public holding that giant dandelion.
Nobody looked directly at me.
I send you to find giant turtles and you bring me back a flower? I mean, I appreciate the sentiment. It is very pretty, but...
I love you too.
It looks like he's just dead bit parts and a bunch of shit.
Donatello doesn't understand how a mop works.
I feel like that would be... Oh, Donatello, come on. That's so unsanitary. Because they're ninjas. And
Karate Kid was only 6 years old at this point. Very timely reference.
You still left a huge fucking stack of pizza boxes, but good job.
Well, Mikey got distracted in the middle of cleaning and made a fort out of him. Yes, meditating, not jerking off. That's what we'll do. Yes.
Splinter was up on the roof rubbing one out, and he was like, oh god, right, that's where that canister's from.
What does this remind me of? Ooh, it's right! Oh, the canister. Should tell them about that.
Ah, oh. All right.
We'll go up to the roof where it's already dark, so you don't have to turn off the lights, Mikey.
So, when they left the sewer, did Splinter just grab, like, some books and, oh yeah, this broken old canister just in case?
You know, he had to disappear evidence that they were there. It's like if they found a TV and blankets, it would probably just be assumed that hobos were down there.
But a canister that once held radioactive goo.
Because it's relevant to the plot of this movie.
Never mind that it looked nothing like this in the first movie and was also shattered into a million pieces. I knew they were growing giant mutant turtles.
You knew who you were. You were turtles that fell into goo. Splinter told you that story a million times. I know exactly where the goo is going.
It's just Nick Slime. You remember Gak, right? It's just Gak.
They don't have a better system for that than he actually has to type out disposed every time he gets rid of one. They didn't have copy and paste in 1991.
Control V, Control V. Something I did not realize, now that I'm poking around, evidently Tatsu is dubbed over in both movies by a white guy.
Yeah, the Asian actor didn't sound stereotypical enough, so we needed a white guy to put on an Asian voice and really jap him up.
None of this makes sense!
Why would you need a quarter to play video games? I don't get it.
Look at all this high-tech fancy equipment and then the 1984 Apple in the background.
It was already moving. Why are you hitting buttons? And how does his massive turtle fingers manage to hit certain keys on a keyboard?
Hey, that one looks like it might still be active, given that it's, like, three times the size of the other ones. How do you type with two fingers?
Because that's what happens.
I feel like ninjas would have caught on to that sooner.
Why, if they were trying to get away with the canister, would they come back with the canister?
You'd think he would have left, or maybe had one of his two dozen ninjas run home with
it. Yeah, it's like, hey, take this back to Shredder.
We're gonna stall them.
We'll keep the turtles busy while you take this back to our secret base in the dump. You have swords, why are you using sticks?
Flip. We'll try flipping. Flipping's a good trick. If you hadn't made such a lame joke.
You've seen how fragile these things are. Should you really be kicking it and throwing it around?
You know who they could really use in this scenario? Casey Jones. That man can aim anything.
Hey, but he can't play sports because he was hurt. He's too hurt to catch flying jars of ooze.
No, but he could, like, throw it and it would probably land in, like, April's apartment.
I wonder where they got the giant foot member there.
I can't help but wonder if that's Kevin Nash. Who might have a little bit of a role later on in this movie, I don't know.
See, Tatsu, you could have just done that at the beginning and saved everyone a whole lot of trouble.
Don't question it. Just go with it.
And they all have to make their little quips. We had to fight all the turtles for it. We could have just brought it back with the professor when we brought him back, but we had to fight the turtles. I've never seen that before.
Dun dun dun.
It's very awkward that Michelangelo stares at that poster in the living room and beats off. Could you take that into the bathroom or something, Mikey? Right in the living room? Donatello's trying to figure out how to fit his globe balloon into a suitcase.
Oh, man, if only the air came out of this thing somehow.
He's the dumbest smart turtle in the world.
Because, you know, that one scene was really funny in the original, so we have to recreate it here.
That's a really bad habit to just give other people's pizzas away. See, and now that Donatello has seen that it's Kino, the guy that they saved just the other night, shouldn't they just come out and say, "Hey, guy. Remember us? Yeah, we're friends."
Because this is working so well.
It makes it sound like she's collecting pizza.
Please tell me I can kill this small human.
You saw four giant turtles and the rat tripped you out.
You know, he's kind of a wuss. April handled this way better.
She screamed a little bit, but then she was fine.
She screamed and let him move in with her.
That was the other franchise.
It wasn't slime, and you have a mullet.
They're not so secret after all. Because they're young and pliable.
That's a good plan. We can't do that in this movie. It's way more safe to just let them eventually find us. That worked out so well in the last movie.
Yeah, remember when we did that and they just, like, kidnapped you and beat you to shit? Two most vicious animals he could find was a wolf and a snapping turtle.
So, Shredder just kind of like hopped up out of the trash and was like, you know what I'm gonna do?
I've got a great plan.
We're gonna put together this makeshift mutation device in the dump.
Well, he's had a couple weeks to lay there and think about it.
That's why he was in the dumpster so long. He was just laying in the trash like, oh, there may be some holes in this plan. I better work them out before I come back. I am so fucking smart. I mean, aside from all the traffic, you're clear, but, you know.
She lives, like, just across the street, guys. Let's not draw out the goodbyes.
You know, the kids really enjoyed the Casablanca reference.
I remember seeing this and getting that reference, though.
Really?
Yeah. But I think it's only because it's been referenced in cartoons and stuff, so.
I don't think I got it at the time, but, you know.
I didn't know it was Casablanca, but I remember, like, oh, he's referencing that old movie that everyone else references. You only just started looking. Why are you giving up so quickly?
Get it?
Because he's green. Raph, you dropped your knapsack full of stuff.
Raph's going to go off alone because he remembers how well that worked for him last time. Be funny if his size were in the knapsack.
Well, Michelangelo's dead.
fire. Good.
Now, wouldn't someone on the power grid eventually notice that this place came back online?
You would hope.
And I always like to believe that this was part of the pneumatic transit system that the River of Slime was in.
Just 3 feet to the left, Dan Aykroyd is suspended in air. Yes. Whoa!
Let's figure that was 89. It's been 2 years since the slime flowed through there. The rail lines are still abandoned. Shredder's maroon suit turned into a purple suit. Is that what happens when you lay in trash?
Yes. It's just dirty. It's just stained. It's soaked up a lot of juice. Am I seeing things, or is his cape a series of spikes hammered together?
It's a trash bag.
He just pulled the trash bag out of the trash when he came out and said, "This one will do."
Well, his first cape looked like a trash bag.
Never mind that you look nothing like my boss from 2 weeks ago.
What happened to Charles? So in the 2 weeks between the first movie and this movie, Charles was fired, Phil took over.
I like to imagine what happened is Charles was arrested after he violently beat Dan to within an inch of his life. Dan is currently in a coma in the hospital, which is why he's not in this movie. He's not in the third movie because, tragically, he passed away afterwards. It's been like 20 minutes, but we thought maybe he just like barged in the newsroom. Is he missing? No, we just.
You got him out of your apartment, but now you still have to deal with this shit on the phone.
Yeah, but at least they aren't spilling shit on our floor now. How was your foot anywhere near that?
There's a lot of foot violence in this movie.
How does that phone work?
It's a wireless rotary payphone.
They're commonplace in abandoned New York subway stations.
Hey, Donatello was the tech guy. He wired something up. That's the first cell phone.
You thought bag phones were ridiculous. Okay, so let's just go ahead and point out the night and day difference between these two movies. We're 40 minutes in, nothing has happened. We are 40 minutes in and they are just now setting up the monsters. 40 minutes into the first movie, I think, like, Raphael was unconscious and the other three were getting their ass beat.
Yeah, they were already in their second major fight with the Foot Clan.
Toka and Rezar here, both voiced by Frank Welker.
Who has voiced Frank every goddamn thing.
Everything. He is renowned for voicing dogs, of all things.
He has played additional voices in every single movie you can imagine.
Most notably, of course, Transformers. According to this, films of Frank Welker grossed more than those of any other actor in Hollywood from 1980 until 2011, at which point he was surpassed by Samuel L. Jackson. Of course, he also most notably voiced Fred Jones in Scooby-Doo films. Cartoon series, whatever. Put that cookie down!
There's that surrogate word again. The doctor towers over Shredder.
They're stupid as shit, but they can move things around. They'd be good movers.
You could open a moving business. You could be legit. Mutant moving.
That will be $30.
You rent out your giant turtle and wolf to just move furniture. You could give up this life of crime. They picked this guy up from the 1950s.
The test is real simple, multiple choice math and English. You don't know the answer, just don't answer it. They don't count that way. All right. Everybody got a number two pencil?
If you do it in pen, then the Scantron machine won't read it. It's got to be pencil.
What god do you think the Ninja Turtles worship?
Something pizza based.
Pizza the Hut? Is that what it is? Yo, Raphael, if you don't say your prayers, pizza's gonna call out for you. What they don't tell you is this is actually just Ernie Reyes' audition for the first movie.
The first rule about Foot Club. Beat up this mannequin.
I hear noises. You fail.
I hear swishy noises.
Nobody in the room noticed the giant turtle sneak in. It's a very stealthy turtle.
He's a ninja, and there was smoke. Doesn't he get a fancy headband to let everyone know that he's in the club? He could have Danny's. He's not going to need it anymore.
Yeah, he's dead. The budget wasn't that high on this one. They couldn't afford that many headbands. I feel like the other ninja should have noticed the new recruit sneaking away.
Again, that's the other franchise.
Oh, man. Shredder slimed me.
Raphael, the plan of getting Kino to infiltrate the Foot was working.
What's sad is he probably could have just, like, turned around and punched Kino and still salvaged the plan.
Like, no, I want to join you guys. Again, that would put you in good standings with the Foot. If you work them by saying that you're turning on your brothers and you lead them right to them, they'll probably believe you. Tatsu is beyond useless in these movies.
He's real good at yelling.
He's real good at grunting. You look different. You look good for a guy who was crushed by a trash compactor.
Yo, Shredder, have you showered recently?
That's not how those work.
No, seriously, spit it out. What the fuck, dude?
Again, you would figure more security.
Oh, God, this fucking Three Stooges bit here. How did the other guy not notice that?
Because they're looking out from each other.
Quietly catch the ninja so Donatello could yell.
A little too raff.
Jesus Christ.
It'd be good if you would use that knowledge to avoid the trap. And if only one of you was equipped with blades that could cut through the rope net.
Oh, man, if only. The rake. You know, even by the standards of this movie, this seems like an overly complicated trap.
See, they could have had a moving business. Tatsu knows how to work a backhoe or whatever the hell this thing is.
A crane?
That's the word.
A backhoe? Shredder has some experience in garbage trucks.
I mean, they could go legit. I'm just saying.
Seriously, that was just an overly complicated, ridiculous plan, even by the standards of this. We're gonna, move them over here and drop them on these sharp objects.
It would have been easier to just drop the sharp objects on them.
I know. Perhaps throw them in some form of a ninja fashion.
There are a billion foots.
Foots?
And
feets?
Not one of them is trying to stop Donatello from untying Raphael.
I notice they're still suffering from the death of Bob the Axe Foot Ninja, given they're all completely unarmed.
Splinter's fine to just let them die.
Rezar looks like the worst He-Man character ever.
No, you indeed did not see them on WrestleMania.
If they had shown up on WrestleMania, though, Toko would be killed because Hogan would have body slammed him so hard.
See, I would have thought for the purposes of this movie to not have a giant evil turtle.
Yeah.
It's like, mix it up a bit. There are other bad creatures out there besides snapping turtles.
If only there was some sort of a precedent for having, I don't know, like a warthog and a rhinoceros. I don't know where you'd get that crazy idea from. This movie, by the way, directed by Michael Pressman, who directed nothing. The Great Texas Dynamite Chase, to Jillian on her 37th birthday, and then some television stuff.
Director Michael Pressman, who's best known for directing Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze.
Poor Michael Pressman.
See, I wonder if Bebop and Rocksteady weren't used as a ploy to sell more toys?
Probably. That or some producer said, ah, warthogs are lame. You know what's cool? Wolves.
Even then, a rhinoceros and a wolf would have been good.
Yeah.
I know snapping turtles are awful things, but they are not on the top of my list when someone's like, hey, name vicious animals.
They will be now because you're going to remember this for the rest of your life.
And damn it, that is the only manhole cover in this entire junkyard. We couldn't possibly cut them off.
You can't possibly be shocked by this after you created a walking, talking wolf and snapping turtle.
You're so unlike these other two that I made.
I'm a fucking failure.
It wasn't gel, it was ooze.
Oh shit, a rat too? You didn't intentionally create something that would make giant turtles?
So all the chemicals that just got accidentally mixed together in this waste site, you guys canned up and held in your laboratory?
See, what happened was the scientists used the same sink to shave as they did to dump the chemicals, and it just clogged up real bad one day, and all the chemicals kind of gathered in the pipe, and then they microwaved too many burritos. And what that did was... Now, that's too smart of an explanation for this movie. I'm sorry.
When the lab was... attacked by a giant hair monster.
They went, oh.
Well, he's pissed that you guys threw him into a garbage truck. I'd be sore about that, too.
He had a good thing going with his little teen hangout with stolen TVs and cigarettes. He was sitting pretty.
Yeah. Turtles had to go sticking your beaks in his business. And then here's where Donatello tries to get all existential in a kid's movie. Nope, all life is meaningless.
One day you'll die.
You could pray to Pizza the Hut. Go to Pizza Heaven. Toka and Reza are getting it on. When the trailer's rocking, boys.
Again, now they're not wearing their gear, so it looks like they're wandering around nude. Such whimsical music for millions of dollars of property damage.
Yeah, imagine playing this music over, like, 9/11 footage.
I finally figured out what it is that makes Toka and Rezar look so fucking ridiculous, and it's the giant cartoon eyes. What?
What time is it? I figured this would be like 3-4 in the morning.
Yeah. They took that really well.
I know, these old people are completely fine with two monsters destroying the city.
The old man, that appears to be the director's parents.
There were no claw marks or teeth or... Shut up, April. Possibly a wolf and a snapping turtle. TriStar Godzilla.
I don't know. Police stuff?
Find the monsters and shoot them with your guns. Did the police not wonder where the Foot Clan went? And once again, April was proven right by the whole Foot Clan thing. So why would the police chief still be up her ass about anything that she says?
Surprise! I'm now unemployed.
Michelangelo seems like the one who would be least worried about things following him. Just kind of goes against his carefree nature.
Well, you know, Raphael was the one who kind of drug everything into there last time. Maybe Michelangelo doesn't want to be that guy.
And Raphael's like, no, don't worry, I'll go get her. And they're like, what happened last time you brought her to our place?
Oh, right.
Never going to let that go, are you? I bring a
Toka and Raza.
I bring a legion of ninjas into our house one time. You never let it go. Eh?
Huh? Well, there you go. There's Donatello doing smart person things.
So if it's a mixture of unknown chemicals that created the ooze, how do they know how to make the anti-mutagen?
Science? I would imagine by now they've studied it and they know what makes it.
Maybe tell the scientist that you fucked up so that he can make a new batch.
Do you think while he was doing this scene, that actor was thinking, God damn, I have an actual career. I'm David fucking Warner.
He takes a bite of, like, Domino's pizza and calls it pepperoni heaven. You don't eat much pizza, do you, Professor Perry? Yep, it's sludge.
Look, product placement. Boy, Kino looks so fucking out of place.
Of everyone there, Michelangelo is the one who knew what ingested means.
I like to think Michelangelo's original idea was pizza, but then he tried to eat all the anti-mutagen, and they were like, maybe not pizza. I see Dunkin' Donuts would not sign on for a partnership deal with this movie.
I figure any company would want to sign on to a Ninja Turtles movie in the 90s. Like, yes, please advertise our stuff to millions of children. I don't see why Donatello's pissed about never having the hiccups again.
That's a good thing. Wait, how is there still some left? They had one canister of ooze. That was all that was left. They made those two, and they still have a full canister of ooze.
And the vial that turns him into Super Shredder later.
Well, it's the same vial, isn't it?
No, he pulls out a little tiny vial.
Oh, yeah. Where'd they get all this ooze? Shredder's like, I do like donuts.
I have trouble believing that Shredder would buy into this. And they can hear you. Maybe not yell that out so loud.
Those giant clawed monster hands picked up a donut.
Why would two creatures who have never had a donut before be suspicious about an ice cube in the middle of the donut?
Oh, man. You know, watching these movies back to back, you really see the difference. By the way, we are now 90 minutes into the movie. Or no, we're not.
98 minutes
into 70. The movie. 70 minutes into the movie. I don't know what I'm saying. They're clearly two completely different movies.
Yeah.
But everything where the first one nailed, I don't want to say every mark, but the majority of its marks. This one just can't seem to hit one. Okay, maybe this one. Maybe this is a good mark. Not the kick.
But it's the, it's like I said, that the first movie is the comic movie, and this one's the cartoon movie. And you can tell.
Yes.
Why are these people not trying to evacuate? You have actual weapons. Why are you stealing neckties?
This is terrifying. I'm a rap.
I have a feeling that they didn't tell Vanilla Ice that this was a movie.
So there is a, have you seen the Kraft Mac and Cheese commercial that just came out?
No.
So there's this mom and a kid shopping, and they go down the mac and cheese aisle, and you know it's Ninja Turtles Kraft Mac and Cheese tying it with the Nickelodeon cartoon, and the guy stocking the mac and cheese is Vanilla Ice. And he looks over at the mom and the kid, and you think, oh, the kid's going to, like, sing the song. No, the mom starts singing the song, because now everybody who grew up watching this is old enough to have kids.
Yeah.
And the kid looks at her like she's fucking crazy, and she's singing the ninja rap with Vanilla Ice in the middle of the grocery store.
I don't know if it's more depressing that we are of an age where we can have children or that that's all Vanilla Ice's career has amounted to at this point.
He did that rap rock version of Ice Ice Baby.
Like, if you sent Vanilla Ice back to 1991 from today, and he said, yeah, in 25 years, this is the song you're going to be most remembered for, and you're going to sing it in a mac and cheese commercial, because you can't find work anywhere else.
Splinter's dead. Kino is mourning the body.
You're harshing my buzz, Kino.
You're Bogarting the weeds, Kino. Stop Bogarting my weeds, boy.
Maybe Leonardo should use a double-edged sword. Fine, go and get yourself killed. See if I give a shit.
You could have already sprayed them like 3 times by now.
It's got to get in them.
Where did they find matching oil drums?
This is a very coordinated warehouse / disco. And yeah, at the height Vanilla Ice was at this point in his career, he's performing like at a dock in a warehouse.
Yeah!
Instead of, like, Madison Square Garden.
You're saying they should have, like, busted into Madison Square Garden for this scene?
No, I'm just saying Vanilla Ice wouldn't be performing in a warehouse. At least not in 91.
The Ninja Turtles just took down the giant mutated werewolf and turtle, and the foot soldiers are like, yeah, we could probably take them now.
They probably could if they went at him more than one at a time.
That's what they did in the first movie, and they kicked their asses.
Remember when you sent like 70 of them at once and you almost killed one of them, and then you set their base on fire? And the whole strength in numbers thing was working. See, that actually killed him. That's why he hasn't been in anything else. They had time to choreograph a dance routine in the middle of their fight.
I get when the foot soldiers run in realizing they're ninjas, but up until then... Michelangelo's gonna get laid real quick. Like us on Facebook!
Eek!
Arguably, I should have put... You know, the guy dressed in saw blades, terrifying, but I feel like I would have run from the 5-foot-tall turtles first.
So yeah, the man covered in saw blades is scary.
I have this. I'm going to make you even more mutated. Look out!
Shredder had a million years to react, and he just stood there. See, he loses that bottle, and then he pulls out a little one.
Keytar! They had to get a keytar because the actor couldn't play a guitar with those giant thumbs.
Where the first one aged well, this one has not.
Yeah. I learned that from a rat.
This one is very clearly set in the early 90s. I imagine spraying entire fire extinguishers down the throat of a wolf and a snapping turtle would not only turn them small, but would kill them.
Aw, they were fine. Is it safe to say this is what you've been looking forward to the most?
Yes.
Mike, would you like to tell everybody watching this who that is?
That is Kevin Nash.
That is Big Sexy.
Or Big Daddy Cool Diesel. Or Oz. Or Vinny Vegas. Or Master Blaster Steel. Although it's only Kevin Nash for half of these scenes because he tore his quad.
Who was it for the other half?
Scott Hall.
Oh.
Glenn Jacobs, Kane. He was the fake Super Shredder.
You know, this would have made for a really cool villain if they had just done this instead of the wolf and the turtle.
The real shame about this is that they show Super Shredder, and he's a big, badass-looking thing.
Yeah.
But there is no fight.
Yeah, he basically kills himself.
And you do have to wonder how the ooze managed to grow his blades. It's like, it didn't just transform him, it transformed his entire suit.
Yeah, that would have been a way cooler movie if they had focused on that.
Like, maybe if they had made Toka and Rezar, and then Shredder's like, hey, I've got an idea, and just, you didn't see him for most of the movie, and then when he kicked down the speaker, he was Super Shredder already?
Yeah. Or maybe he didn't even show up behind the speaker, he just showed up. We just cut the whole Vanilla Ice thing out of this movie?
No, we need the Vanilla Ice thing.
Yeah, I feel like that was not necessarily for sure. You did crush him in a fucking garbage truck last time.
And that wasn't when he was supercharged.
I know.
So getting crushed in a trash compactor didn't get the job done on normal Shredder, but some planks of wood, that killed Super Shredder.
It's probably just a torn quad, let's be honest.
Thanks for blowing our cover, April, bitch.
I would love to see Kevin Nash come into a battle royale as a Super Shredder. I'm just throwing that out there. They found time in there to pose for a group photo.
Well, you know, after killing Super Shredder, they still had a Vanilla Ice concert. So why why miss the entire concert that you just saved?
Right?
So go back up there, enjoy the show. They're probably VIP guests now because they saved everybody in there.
They got free drinks.
Yeah.
Got tons of ladies.
See, the villain for the next movie should have been that black guy that Michelangelo stole his girlfriend.
He could have been Baxter Stockman.
I'll show those turtles. Urgh. Steal my girlfriend.
I'm going to make these little robots. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a engineering student that just wanted to go to the Vanilla Ice concert.
Managed to convince like his super hot coworker to go on a date with him, and he was about to win her over.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Michelangelo.
Turtles came in.
Goddamn Michelangelo. Hey, the disc jockey was John Tenta.
But Kevin Nash was not the only wrestler in this movie.
Oh, man. Hey, for me, that was an obscure ass pull. So, I mean, I've always said for years that this was the weaker of the two movies. But when you watch them back to back like we just did, it becomes really obvious.
Yeah, but still not a bad movie.
Not a bad movie.
It's,
that would be the
it's
third
It's enjoyable
one.
On a sort of cheese level.
Kino's fights performed by Ernie Reyes Jr. himself. How many fights did Kino really have?
He didn't have that many fights in the movie. But, yeah, it's definitely a cheese fest. More so than the first one. But,
yeah.
But a good cheese fest. It's cheesy, but I like cheese.
Ooh. Nachos would be really good right now. Or perhaps, dare I say...
Pizza?
Pizza.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Once I mentioned cheese, I lost you, so podcast over.
We'll see you guys next time.